You're listening to KWMR, 90.5 Point Reyes Station and 89.9 in Bolinas. And we stream worldwide on the web at kwmr.org. Good morning. This is Susan Santiago, and welcome to Pieces of Peace. This is our very first edition. Please stay tuned for special guests, Libby and Len Traubman. In 1992, Len Traubman, a retired pediatric dentist, and his wife, Libby Traubman, a retired clinical social worker, invited American, Palestinians, and Jews to come together and begin a long-term dialogue to learn about each other in order to discover common ground. This was the beginning of over 20 years and 250 meetings of Jewish-Palestinian living room dialogues facilitated by the Traubmans. Over the past 20 years, they have sent out 13,000 instructional DVDs about how to start a dialogue group to all 50 states, to 82 countries, and to 2,500 institutions in 2,200 cities around the world. Libby and Len Traubman are my special guests the second half hour of Pieces of Peace. Thank you both for joining me here today.
Thank you for having us. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Libby. How are you both doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome. I'm going to let you decide who's going to answer what, because I don't want to get in the middle of it. Okay. When did your interest, knowledge, and eventual expertise in the process of dialogue first begin, and what really motivated it?
Well, we were married on August 19th, 1967, and that's when we started understanding that the marriage is really the gymnasium of the spirit, and we started learning how to listen to each other, feebly at first, but really during the 70s and the early decade of our marriage, we did study ourselves and our relationship and parenting, and it was only in the early 1980s that we began engaging enemies on a global scale and learning a lot more.
I think our interest really began, too, as our awareness, our consciousness expanded to see that the world was much larger than our own very limited world that we were living in, you know, as workers and professional people and having our family. But there is so much more, and there's so many more people with whom we share the planet and the whole living system, that it began to open our minds and our hearts to something bigger and better outside of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And so why do you think dialogue is so important in the conflict resolution arena?
Well, a lot of people in the world want peace, but they don't want relationships. And many people want to be heard desperately, but fewer people want to listen. And the quality of listening around the planet is awful. And so the entry point to a world beyond war is in listening. And the person with the skill and the will to listen really is the one with the power to transform relationships and redirect history in our experience.
Also, I think the world that we live in today is very fast-moving, and it's all about information and getting more information and who's right and who's wrong, and it's very political. And we've forgotten about the power of just sitting and giving the other person space and time to express him or herself. And we know that there's something really, really important and moving about having that kind of time, especially in a marriage or with a significant other or with children. We have to take that kind of time to be open to each other and take in where they're coming from and what they're feeling.
Very good. I couldn't agree with you more. Do you think that social media has helped or hurt the listening process?
Well, social media, it's very different things can happen in social media, like on computers and the internet, I think you're referring to. Is that right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
We've seen actually face-to-face dialogue groups dissolve because instead of engaging face-to-face, they take it to the computer screens. And there's a lot of hostility when you can't look in a person's eyes, and it becomes a battle of who's right, as Libby said, and who's wrong, and debate rather than dialogue with its quality of listening to learn. On the other hand, we have built relationships on the Internet all over the world and transformed them into face-to-face relationships, actually beginning with ham radio and the Soviet Union, when people used to be our enemies, and radio operators on Soviet ships, as the Cold War began to end, those ships came into San Francisco Bay, and the radio operators came into our home and slept in our bed. So you can turn relationships into real relationships from the web to face-to-face with, if you have that intention.
That's very interesting about the Soviet people on the ship who came to your home and, you know, stayed. You know, I never knew that.
Stories are like icebergs. The deeper you go under the water, the bigger the iceberg is, the more
very
story. And the experience is that an enemy is one whose story we have not heard. And that's why there have been 250 meetings of the dialogue, because there's always more.
That's a very powerful quote, and I have used that ever since I've learned about it from your organization. Our enemy is the person whose story we have not heard. It's very true.
It is true, because the media and film and books and all kinds of other sources lead people to get a lot of false information about others outside of our family or our neighborhood or our clan. And so it's very easy to project on other people mm-hmm. that we don't know things mm-hmm. that are very often not true.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And some of the major elements that you use in dialogue are listening to learn and compassionate listening.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to actually describe what dialogue is and what it is not. We say it is not conversation, which tends to be more social and shallow. It's not discussion, which comes from the same roots as concussion and percussion, and really is more like clashing ideas and not listening to the other. And it's certainly not debate, as we've already said, because debate indicates a winner and a loser. And in dialogue, we're about everybody being a winner. So, yes, dialogue is exactly what you said. It's listening to learn, and it's listening with compassion and openness so that we can see the humanity in the other.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
We're excited about coming to Point Reyes with you.
I was just going to ask you about that. You're going to be here this Sunday.
So people can experience some of it.
Yes. That would be wonderful. This Sunday, you're both going to be from 2 to 4 at the Presbyterian Church here on Shoreline, which is, I had the address right here, 11445 Shoreline Highway. And just so our listeners know, they will be here. They will be showing their film, Nigerian Dialogue, Muslims and Christians Creating Their Future. And this was a film that Libby and Lynn Traubman co-produced. And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it'll be fun mm-hmm. because it's a really good example of how beginning locally in small circles can affect the planet. And we're after working with Jews and Palestinians for 20 years and Armenians, mm-hmm. Azerbaijanis, mm-hmm. And Israelis and Palestinians, we were asked to go to Africa to bring together several hundred Muslims and Christians who were in the midst of brutal violence. And the film has a lot of tools in it for day-to-day relationship building and engagement that can be used in schools, at home, in the neighborhoods. And people really have an opportunity that Sunday, the 25th, is it?
24th
in Point mm-hmm. Reyes to really engage face-to-face and see what the film means to them and how it might be applied in on the coast.
And following that will be a generous conversation, as you put it, a dialogue between audience members as to their feelings and their takeaway and what they got out of the film, the documentary. It's a wonderful film. I have to tell all of our listeners, I did see it, and it is it's actually unbelievable. You know, I don't want to give too much away, but it's amazing how Muslims and Christians can come together in a warring country and love each other.
And in Point Reyes.
Yes, absolutely. And that is, and it's also a free event, I want our listeners to know. So you can come from the afternoon from 2 to 4, learn, meet these wonderful people, Libby and Len Traubman, and enjoy in being involved, interacting in a dialogue. It will, I think it would be just a great way to spend Sunday afternoon. So I hope everyone comes out and learns from this experience.
The film is really a good example, too, of how what we can do in this public peace process of building relationship where it intersects with political processes, because the U.S. State Department has taken the film and been instrumental in moving it out around the country in Nigeria to their American corners and libraries. And so we're working, just military is interested, government. Yep, there's a whole peace process going on that's citizen-driven.
And you and Libby actually traveled to Nigeria to help a group there start a Muslim-Christian dialogue group. And that you've kind of evolved into this major film endeavor, didn't it?
Exactly. We had made some other films, all of which are doable, or you can download them or order them free of charge from our website. One is Dialogue in Washington High, which shows students coming together in dialogue. Another is at our Jewish-Palestinian Peacemakers Camp that we had for 5 years at a Jewish summer camp, bringing people from the Middle East as well as from around the United States to come together and have these activities together and live together. And so it was through the films that our friend Emmanuel in Nigeria happened to see a copy of it, and this was the beauty of networking. He contacted us and said he wanted a copy of the film, and when he saw those various activities that we'd done at the Peacemakers Camp, he said, would you be willing to come to Jos, Nigeria, and facilitate the same activities with our Christians and Muslims who are really in battle here? And so after a lot of deliberation and wondering if Len and mm-hmm. I were up to such a huge trip and commitment, we decided, yes, that we've been doing this for so many years, why not? And so we went, and we thought because it was in Africa and because it was in a new setting that it would be really important to film it and document it, which is what we had done.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the roadblocks, if any, that you encountered in the creation of the film?
Oh my God. Well, I don't know how many filmmakers there are on the coast, but there were lots. One was getting a team, and we finally found a little team of three people in Nigeria we had never met. The other was that they captured it in what's called PAL, a format used in Africa, but it has to, so all the film had to be converted to what's called NTSC here so we could use it in America. The other thing was that when we got home and looked at the footage, we realized that even though we all spoke English, and English is the Nigerian language, we couldn't understand Nigerian English, and they couldn't understand ours. So we had to send the whole film back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. To have somebody there transcribe every word in English onto paper, so we could even edit the film. And it's very interesting. Just mm-hmm. people, I mean, it's hard enough communicating with each other in English here, but people who speak the same language in other countries, often we don't understand each other. And that's why Libby described this whole, the different ways of communication. This is all about communication. And mm-hmm. you can't have peace without relationship. And so the face-to-face engagement that people will experience when we show the film in Point Reyes, or when you walk along the Point Reyes seashore, it's all an important experience of being one, realizing we are one with each other and one with the planet, and we just need to learn to live that way. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about.
Did either? And I agree totally with you on that, Lynn. I just think that your work is phenomenal, and I think there are many heartfelt and heartwarming moments in the documentary. That's why I think most people would be able to relate to it on an emotional level, on an intellectual level. It's really a beautiful, beautiful piece of work with beautiful people in it. And by the way,
Libby looks at the film and wells up sometimes when she...
Well, every time I've seen it, and I've seen it three times now, I always do. It's kind of common for me because it's just unbelievably beautiful in the work that's being done and how these people who have been in tremendous conflict are able to, again, get to know each other, get to know their own story.
It's touching to see them come together and realize, I know there are a couple places, not to give away the drama, but I just know this one young man says, if my Muslim partner needs blood and I give him my blood, he's my brother, and we all share the same blood.
Absolutely.
I mean, there are just things in it that they say that are very moving and very just grounded and true about the reality of life.
Absolutely. And did either one of you have a favorite moment or moments that you'd like to share while producing the film, other than eating the pounded yam?
That was not a favorite moment.
I'm teasing you, Libby. Oh, they ate a lot of pounded yam in Nigeria.
I think there were so many profound moments that were wonderful, but I'd have to say my favorite moment was during the talent show when they pulled Lynn on the dance floor and he danced with the people.
Yes.
I just thought it was wonderful.
It was wonderful. Absolutely. And it's very noticeable, too, when you're watching it. I mean, he just stands out as the dancer there, you know.
It was a very lighthearted moment. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I loved seeing people bless and give each other a symbol of their oneness.
Mm-hmm. There was a moment in the film when a woman, Monica, who had grown up a Christian in northern Nigeria that is largely Muslim, and saw really death all around her, both Muslims and Christians, she just stood up and referred to the golden rule. And you'll see it in the film, and she just says, it's like the golden rule says, what don't you like to have done to you? Don't do it to other people. And she was so firm about it. And convincing, and we know that's how she is in real life. She's tough, but yet intellectual. And the film is rich. The film that the people in Point Reyes are going to see on the 24th is rich with eloquent, strong, beautiful Nigerians who will knock your socks off with their intelligence and their vision of a future beyond war.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
You know, one of the things that I think is really important to always add, the dialogue work that we've been doing for many, many years is really important in that it introduces a whole new way of living and relating. But we always try to tell people that it's the entry point. It's just the beginning. That unless we are committed to living this lifestyle, unless we are committed to every day practicing, listening, to learn, being interested in the other, getting out of our own limited frame of reference, these beginning activities won't mean much. It's really, really important to know that it has become a lifestyle, a way of living, to love in every situation and to be interested in others as much as possible. So it's a commitment. It's a serious commitment. As Len has always said, it's not a hobby. It's serious business. So when we talk about it, we always try to emphasize that these activities and what we're doing are an entry point into living in a way that could change life on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Very good, and it is serious business, especially when you look at the world today.
Mm-hmm. So if people, we'll have DVDs and how-to tools there on the 24th. The community church in Point Reyes to give to people to take home and use. All the films are streaming from our website. There are lots of how-to materials they can download. Just Google Jewish-Palestinian Living Room Dialogue, and it'll bring you to the site. And we're plenty excited about coming up to see you and being with the people.
Very good. And I think what's what really shows your seriousness and your sincerity in peace building is the fact that you show this film for free. It's a free event, number one. And number two, you give out a copy of it and any other information for free to the audience in order for them to help in the cause and do their own dialogue group and learn how to do that. I think it's like a growing exponentially, and I think this is definitely the way to do it.
Yeah, that's the beauty of technology that can make DVDs rather inexpensively these days. You can mail a DVD instead of mailing a VHS or beta cassette around the world.
Sure.
And the internet, and it's too urgent to have to wait to sell products to transform relationships. So we just wanted to get these films around the world as fast as possible.
Very good. And just last week, you received yet another award to add to your collection of many for your documentary, Dialogue in Nigeria, Muslims and Christians Creating Their Future. It was an award a few weeks ago at the World Interfaith Harmony Film Festival in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I forget the name of it. It was at the film festival. It was women filmmakers, I think, and they presented it to me along with another woman for her film as well. So it was a surprise. And as you know, I felt guilty because I wasn't alone in making that film by any means.
Yeah. But congratulations on your part on that, Libby.
Yeah. Thank you.
Very good.
You know, one of the things I wanted to add about money was to say that we've always tried to encourage people to see this work as people-intensive and not money-intensive. And we know that people need to make a living, and we know that for some people it's important. But as much as possible to make it something that people see as a lifestyle that's people-intensive, and you don't have to have a lot of money to do it.
Volunteerism.
Beautiful. I know you have two children, a daughter and a son, and how do they feel about having two incredibly auspicious parents such as yourselves?
Well, they refuse to be clones of us.
I mean, whose parents go to Jos, Nigeria for peace building? Yeah, I think it's wonderful.
They're themselves. They have their own identity and a global view. Mm-hmm. They live a different life and enact it differently, but with the same spirit.
Very good. And again, I wanted to repeat your quote from Quaker activist Jean Knudsen Hoffman, "An enemy is one whose story we have not heard." Do you ever get a chance to break away from your outstanding peace-building projects, the two of you?
Ask that again. Do we ever have one?
Do you ever get a chance just to get away from it and to kind of like just take a break?
Oh,
yes, we're going to stay at the Bear Valley Inn.
Oh, terrific. That'll be a nice romantic evening.
So coming to Point Reyes is taking a break, and actually being with the people is the most beautiful kind of break there is.
And when we, of course, get together with our children.
Of course.
And unfortunately, we're quite spread out, so it's almost like a special occasion because our daughter's in New York and our son and his family are in the San Diego area.
Mm-hmm. So we work in the garden a lot. We have a vegetable garden.
Oh, beautiful.
We get our hands in the compost and go to the beach and walk around and eat seafood. And
oh, good.
We're normal.
Oh, very good.
Well, sort of.
Sort of. I agree with you, Libby, in a good way. So I want to remind our audience that Libby and Len Traubman will be here this weekend, and we will be screening their film, Nigerian Dialogue, Christian Dialogue in Nigeria, Muslims and Christians Creating Their Future. And it'll be this Sunday at the Presbyterian Church at 11445 Shoreline Highway from 2 to 4 p.m. And it's a free event. And there'll be a generous conversation among the audience afterwards. So this is going to be a great, great event here in Point Reyes.
And I think your audience should know that you are getting your master's degree in this subject, and that this is part of your practicum, that you have chosen to live this life, and it is you who want to show this film and have audience engagement that that builds community and offers people tools to take in to make a much better nation and global community. And thank you for choosing to do that with your education.
Oh, you're more than welcome, and thank you both for having me as your practicum-y, so to speak, and working with you. I am, as you know, deeply honored and feel extremely fortunate to be working with two such amazingly dynamic human beings.
You know, a lot of people ask us what inspires us and keeps us going, because we have been doing it for a really, really, really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it is meeting people like you. And it's working with young people and young adults and students and people who are really interested in this kind of activity. So you keep us going and you give us hope, and your great spirit is a real inspiration.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
You are really part of the new breed of peace journalist, which is a discipline moving all around the planet now, and you're a great exemplar. And thanks for doing it on the coast.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Isn't it great that this is growing, though? It is an area. Peace building is just taking off. It's unbelievable right now. It's a good thing. And I have to say, Libby and Lynn, this has certainly been an amazing and informative interview, and you're both such great visionaries. And I'd love to have you visit us again here on Pieces of Peace.
Oh, we're yours.
Oh, very good. So we'll talk some more about the different places you're going and all the work that you're doing. So, again, thank you so much. And we will see you here on Sunday from 2 to 4 at the Point Reyes Community Presbyterian Church.
Terrific. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you. Bye. That's Libby and Lynn Traubman, and you're listening to Pieces of Peace. And this is Susan Santiago. Again, I'm going to leave you with a quote by Quaker activist Jean Knudsen Hoffman. An enemy is one whose story we have not heard. Thank you all for listening and for joining me today on Pieces of Peace.